Hey, beautiful people, and welcome to the Tell Me a Story podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bell. If this is your first time on the show, this is the kind of podcast where I have different people coming on and they tell me their favorite story. And buckle up, because these stories range. From the relatable to the intense to the traumatic, there is something for everyone here. And I know you guys will love these stories as much as I enjoyed hearing them myself. So, quick disclaimer for this episode. This is mature. We're getting nasty on this episode, y'all. You guys are going to have a blast. I have adult actress and comedian Sally Mullins come on. I love this girl. We've performed more times than I can count back in LA. And she gives a raunchy story. Like, you ever had a conversation with someone and before the conversation you were like, I'm kind of kinky. I got a little nasty side to you, to myself. But then you talk to someone and you're like, wow, I am so vanilla. Well, Sally does that to me 5 times over. You guys are going to absolutely love this story. Please enjoy. Seeing you too.
I know, right?
My God, I haven't seen you since I moved.
It's been like over a year at least, you know?
Yeah.
I would say the last time I saw you was maybe you stopped by the Comedy Store or no?
Yeah.
It was before.
No, I think it was at Dante's last birthday party thing.
Probably it was. Yeah, that's cool. I just was in a show of theirs, they're starting to do Zoom shows, so you should get on their Zoom shows, you know.
Okay.
I hosted one, so I was like, hey, can I host? So yeah, hit them up.
Yeah, might be that time. I've been contemplating doing Zoom shows, you know, ever since everything went down. And
well, you seem like you're fine with Zoom, so why not? Just fixing my crazy bangs here. You seem like you're Zoom friendly, so why not, you know?
Yeah, because I've been, man, not having an audience has been like, you know, it's just like it's the main joyous thing I love to do. And it's like, now it's just like, man, who knows how long.
I know. You know, you better start accepting it that like it might, I mean, I see spring 2020, like realistically. I don't see further than that though. I do see that it will happen then. So
yeah.
A lot of people are like, it's going to be at least a year from now, but I don't think it's going to be a year from now. I think it's going to be a year from when lockdown started. So it's going to be like a year from March.
That seems like a more realistic time.
Yeah.
That's when they will have a way better handle on it.
And that's still me being like very, you know, not just liberal politically, but like liberal with time. Like I could actually say like maybe January too, but that's a little bit unrealistic. But I do think that you should hit them up. It was a fun show, you know, and it had audience.
Wow.
So they have an audience via Zoom. There's a lot of shows going on that have an audience via Zoom.
Yeah, it makes sense. People are, you know, definitely starved for entertainment.
Well, also, I mean, who knows? Because people are like, wow, I don't have to go and park and deal with a 2-drink minimum. I can get 4 drinks for the price of one. Who knows? You know, Zoom shows might have a foothold. Who knows? Because some people kind of like to chill on their couch.
That's true. I definitely enjoyed my couch chill time.
And they might not have been coming to the club. So it might be like tapping into all these people that
That's
weren't
true.
Getting to see live comedy. I mean, Zoom is live. So what the fuck, you know?
That's true. That's a good point. Yep. You convinced me. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But it's so nice to see you again. It's been
nice
way too long.
Too. How old is your kid now?
He's 5. He is 5 now and just started kindergarten. Virtual learning.
Okay, yeah.
So
he's not going to go to school next year, as far as we know.
Yeah. Right now, the big discussion amongst parents is, like, some schools are opening up. Like, my son's school, they're talking about bringing the kids in within, like, 2 weeks. And I was like, wow, you guys are fucking optimistic. But but a lot of the parents who have kids going to those schools that are opening back up are like, why aren't you enforcing masks? Because they're not. They're not enforcing masks for the kids. They're like masks for the staff and the teachers, but not the kids. And I'm like, and a lot of the ladies are like, you made me fucking wear a skirt that had to be two fingers away from the knee. You can't enforce a kid to wear a mask? Come on now.
Exactly.
And my kid's five, but when we go out, he wears his mask. He understands.
Yeah.
He understands, like, and yeah, I get the little ones might take it off, take it back on, put it on. But you can still, there's something, you know. But yeah, everyone's trying to figure it out. But anyway, Sally, I know you got other things you got to do because this is a crazy Zoom world, but you got a story for me?
I do have a story for you.
Awesome. Tell me a story.
That's a very interesting situation. I hope they get the kids to wear masks. I do kind of want the schools to open up on some level because there's just so many teen boys on the street hitting on me. It's drama. But I do want them to open masks, so I feel your pain. Okay, so my story for you. It's very nice to see you. You look great. And I'm going to go back about 7 years. I was working in a fetish dungeon. Now, keep in mind, I originally worked in a fetish dungeon in my early 30s. I'm about to turn 52. So this would have been like mid-40s, and I was broke, and I had to go back to working at the Sanctuary LAX. It's a great club. It's in the city of Vernon, which is right by LAX.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really nice club run by great people. Mistress Cyan and Genesis. And Genesis, I know from back when I was in fetish, when I was in my early 30s. Like, there's a lot of people that go way back there. But anyway, one cool thing that happens is when you've worked as a dominatrix or switch or submissive or whatever you've worked as, when you go back to it after a hiatus, your clients will stick with you. Bangs. And they will find you. They will find you on the web, and they will be like, oh, you're working here now? I'll come see you here. And it's lovely because you go in on the first day at a new club and you're like, oh, wow. I mean, it's been 10 years since I did sessions, and people remember you and they come in and it's really cute, you know? And, you know, they're like a little bit older and fatter and you still look great. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of touching that they came out to see you again. So this guy, he's a chef, yeah. Real sweetheart, younger than me. So back in the day when I was early 30s, he was like late 20s, and he was coming to see me at a club in North Hollywood called The Chateau. He was a big time chef at a big time hotel, amazing chef. He was into food as a fetish. Now, he may have just been like trying to do what he was good at and discover his own fetishes, but he would always bring like bananas and whipped cream and cover you with food, and the bananas he would put in your orifices.
Oh.
Provided that it was okay with you.
Of course.
He was not a pushy guy.
That's
so
good.
He was like,
you definitely would want someone who's going to shove a banana somewhere to ask politely.
Consent. Produce consent is what I'm talking about. So we did some food play at the Chateau, and one time I got like irritation from a banana, so I was kind of like, but that wasn't his fault, you know? Yeah. I mean, it might be kind of hard to put a condom on a banana or something, you know?
Oh, Lordy.
COVID started, Eric.
I was starting to think, like, I think they've been lying about the fucking bats. I'm guessing it was like a very bad irritation that you got, or?
Yeah, it was like a yeast infection because can't just fuck up the pH in there. You can't just be like, some people can, I can't.
Oh, no.
I speak from my experiences.
That kind of put a bad taste in my mouth for bananas for a while.
You should still eat them. You know, they're potassium.
Yeah.
Maybe my body has enough potassium and rejected it.
Like going too far on down the road. Yeah. I see. That's great though that he. That's an interesting one.
Oh no, but that's not it. That's not the story.
I'm all ears.
Gets way worse.
Oh no.
You might want to cover your ears so no vegetables get inside them.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
The story gets way next level.
Oh, I'm all excited now. Go for it.
Okay, you think I was just going to bring a story about a banana in my pussy?
I had no idea where we were going with this. It's like...
Who do you think you're fucking with? You are so great. It's really great to see you. Hey, before I go on with the story, tell me a little bit about what has been going on with you.
Oh, well, with Vegas... Well, Vegas has been, you know, weird because of the lockdown. And one of the things about when you live in a tourist town and no tourists are allowed, as a local, the city gets a lot better because you don't deal with the fucking tourists.
Yeah.
It's just all around just been I feel almost bad because I turn on the news, I hear from friends and family, I hear how like people are struggling right now. A lot of people are struggling. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people, like a lot of comics can't, you know, there's no work and, you know, everything. But I've kind of inadvertently become very blessed in this interim. My wife got promoted. I found an easy day job, like work from home. So like I never lost any income throughout it and got a house, you know, where I'm in a new home, which I would never have gotten if I was in LA. That was it didn't matter how much I worked. It didn't matter how hard Georgia worked. We weren't going to be homeowners. That was just not going to be a thing. We weren't going to even rent a house because it was just renting a house in LA was just astronomically expensive.
Yeah.
So moving out here, you know, I found a lot more work for comedy wise. I got a lot more gigs because it was just a whole new market.
Good.
You know, Vegas has a solid market and then, you know, the road. And then, so with COVID shutting everything down, you know, it let me have an opportunity to just kind of lean back and just breathe and be around my family. You know, I got a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
I got to spend so much more time with my kid. It's so nice to be fun dad all the time and not be, all right, buddy, mom's home. I got to go. Bye. You know? And so he's been loving it. I've been loving it. It's been great. It's been, and then the podcast has been going strong. I've been loving this podcast.
That's really cool. See, it's my pets have been loving it, and it drastically changed my work because I was doing comedy, I was escorting, and then lockdown kicked in, and I had to sort of stay home, make my money off the internet, but it was time to invest in, you know, premium web content, OnlyFans, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making more money now. It's the same. We're two people probably with a pretty similar experience in it, to be honest. And my pets are so happy that I'm home. But at the same time, you know, I'm freaking horrified with what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fearful. I'm, you know, I mean, it's freaking.
The anxiety levels are off the chart.
The anxiety levels are off the chart. So what it does to your mind. And I just try and stay focused. I try to hustle as much as I can with the new opportunities I have. And I try to give back. Like I just donated to an animal rescue charity today.
That's great.
I try to give back. Yeah, as much as I can. And if I have a friend who's struggling, I try to just be like, Ben, I don't have much to give, but I try to be like, here's $25. You know, that gets you from point A to point B today, you know?
Yeah, and that's great that you're doing that because so many people are in a bad way. I saw a picture of like an old, you know, recession photo, some people out the, you know, in front of a soup kitchen, and they mirrored that with the line of cars outside of a food bank. And it's so far down. It's just like the amount of cars there. I was like, wow, that's, oof, but it makes sense. Like one day you get sent home. One day you get sent home.
Yeah. You're sent home. And like, if you don't, it's very easy for people like us who are creative to be like, well, I'll find something else. You know, this will be, but people don't have that perspective. They might have had the same job for 25 years.
Yeah. You know, I think about all like the last day job I had when I was in LA and I worked at the LAX. And I think about all those people I worked with because I'm still friends with them. And I remember I hit them up and they were like, you know, obviously we've gone to billions of airports, but like Hudson News, the convenience stores you see all the time. So I worked for that company. And so I was talking to an old friend of mine. And I was like, hey, how's the airport dealing with that? Well, they sent us home and laid us off. I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, they just don't need that many of us. And I was like, everyone who worked there was 15, 20, because it was a good job with good benefits. And it was union. But they all got sent home.
But they have to be getting some kind of unemployment because
Yeah.
I know union workers getting some kind of unemployment. I mean, we do, you know, people do have that. So give
They have
people
that.
like us some credit for sort of like never having that, you know, artists. But it's just a different, it's a different skill set. I mean, it
Yeah,
really is.
and I think the one of the benefits of being an artist, because we're creative types, you got to think, like you said, you got to think on the fly, you got to be creative, and sometimes you can have like, and also being in entertainment, you have like, we all have had like 100 different awesome opportunities that just fall through, and it's like, okay, what am I doing now? What am I doing now? Going to do this now. Going, don't worry, guys. They're like, hey, you didn't show up. Don't worry, we can make it work. And you know, the improvisational skills really come in handy during crises. But yeah, I think about all the ladies that I used to work with, you know, like old Salvadorian woman in their 50s, in the late 50s, early 60s, been working here for 20, 30 years. Like, what's she gonna do? What she got? You know,
And
like.
when people had no desire to leave someplace, it's so sad when they have to leave someplace because they were cool with that place and that place needs them and they need that place, you
Yeah.
know?
And now it's, and like, and right now it's just like, and like, not to stray the conversation too political, but unless we have a federal government that's willing to, you know, write the check and guarantee businesses that, don't worry, we got you, keep paying your employees, go ahead, send them home, but pay them, we'll cover the bill. Unless the national bank can say that, the federal government said, we got it, you're gonna just get people who are just constantly laid off, constantly laid off. And like, Vegas is the number, I think right now, at least the last time I checked, Vegas is number one in unemployment right now, because it's all tourist. It's all, this is a tourist town. So 80% of people here work in some way to the casinos. And even though the casinos are open, they're not nearly open to the
So,
capacity they
are you
used to be.
thinking that people won't have the incentive to go back to work or?
I think, like, I think about my brother who works at the casino, and he recently, just recently, got to say, hey, do you want to come back? You know, it's one of those, he's double thinking it. Like, do I want to work at a, during COVID season? I like, do I want to risk, you know, exposure? And then on top of that, Vegas doesn't pay that well, those jobs. It's just, they pay very low. The only benefit with Vegas is the cost of living is cheap. So even though they pay you low, and there's no state tax, you can still afford, you know,
Yeah, you
stuff.
can afford a nice place.
Oh yeah. Like the last apartment I lived in, like, if I ever want to piss off a comic from LA, I just tell him what my rent was.
No, you can do that. I mean, my
Oh.
friend worked out there. He's a porn photographer. He's working all the time. I'm back working in porn. It's just COVID tested now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he's getting way more work, and he has, for the price of a one bedroom in LA, he has like a mansion in Vegas.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, I'm in
So
a
cool.
4-bedroom house right now. I'm renting a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house. I pay $1,300.
Nice. That is so fucking great.
And I know, right? And I'm not in a bad neighborhood. I'm in a really nice
Yeah, you would
neighborhood.
get a studio in a shitty neighborhood in
Exactly.
LA.
I was living in Hawthorne right before I moved. You know,
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I was
I
like,
love Hawthorne though, it's cool, but
I grew up out
you were
there.
paying more than that. You were paying more than
Oh,
30.
way more than that. Way more, because SpaceX is right down the street. So it's like, so I was paying more. When I was living in Long Beach, I was paying a lot more. It was just like, and I had so much less. So, you know, the people out here, but the problem is when I mean, unemployment, like, at least out here, unemployment can pay for some stuff, you know. But in LA, a lot of the guys are like, dude, even that unemployment, even with that extra couple bucks, that doesn't cover
It
everything.
doesn't cover, it doesn't cover it. I mean, God, man, it's such. I've been looking at places like Victorville, on the way to you, you know,
Yeah.
Hesperia, Lake Los Angeles, Fraser Park. You get outside of LA County, it's affordable. You can buy a beautiful house for like 200 and something grand outside of LA County. I'm already in Winnetka, remember?
Yeah.
I'm already 40 minutes away from Hollywood in LA, so I'm just gonna go in some other directions. I'm actually getting ready to buy a home. I'm focused on making money.
That's great.
Well, I'm talking in like 6 months.
That's still, no, the fact that
Yeah,
you're
it's so
on that
cool.
path, that's incredible. But yeah, well, but it's outside of LA.
You know? I'm old as fuck. I better be on that path. All right, I better tell you some more of the story.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We'll end up just talking all day.
Fun to catch up, but I feel like I'm being a bad mom. All right, so we are now, I'm in my mid-40s. This is about 6 or 7 years ago. We are in the Sanctuary LAX, which is by the airport. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what their status is now. I'm pretty sure they're closed down for a little bit.
Like, were they in between, like, Imperial Highway and, like, Century on, I forgot what that other that street was. I may have gone to that place once, twice.
Oh.
It was a friend of mine, she knew some people who worked there. This was a couple years back. And she was a dear, dear friend of mine. And she's like, you want to come and see it? I'm like, absolutely, I want to come
see this.
And back when I worked at the LAX, it was right there. Because right down the street is where LAX employees had to park to go to work.
Because the shuttles
took them there. You're like, so near the Bird, not far from the Bird restaurant. That's
right.
My audience is learning something about me.
No, it's a great location.
It's great. It's been there right off the 105, like right between a 105 and a 405 exit. You know, very close.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I went there. Great experience.
It's on La Cienega. It's actually La Cienega.
Yeah. On La Cienega, right in between Imperial and I think Century. But yeah, very close to Imperial Highway.
Cool club.
But anyway.
No, it's a very cool club. And let me tell you, like, they have socials, they have parties. This is not like some fake club where strippers are just faking it. This is and no disrespect to strippers on any level, but this is like fetish people who are really into the lifestyle. They can teach you about the lifestyle. When people go in there, they say, oh, and you go in and interview with a lady of your choice, and you talk about each other's limits and what you're looking to explore. So basically, I was there and I went in and they said, oh, you have an appointment, and it's with a guy, and the name, you know, sounded familiar, but I didn't know if somebody said Eric, I would be like, oh, I hope it's that cute young brother, but you don't know. So the guy came in and it was the guy, and I was like, oh my God. And he goes, yeah, I saw you were here and I hoped it was you and not someone pretending to be you, because it had been like a decade. So he had brought a bunch of food. It was the same guy who put the banana in my vagina.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he looked pretty much the same. He's a big dude.
Like, are we talking 200?
More
or 300?
200 is like normal, like let yourself go, like 40-year-old. We're talking probably over 400. Ooh. He's a big boy. He was a chef. He liked food. He liked to make it. He liked to eat it. Cute boy. Very thick too. Like not flabby. You know, like everything. Like muscle, just huge.
Gotcha.
Hey. Whoa. Tank man. So he comes in, he's got a bunch of food, and he's like, oh, I got this. And he's putting stuff in my mouth, and he's like putting stuff in my pussy. And you know what? Like, when somebody comes and sees you after a 10-year hiatus, you're like really relaxed. You know, you probably don't put up your guard. I mean, I did with some people. Like, this guy came in and he wanted to electrocute me with a cattle prod, and I was just like, no, you know. But this guy, I'm like so happy to see him. And then he has a gherkin, which is like a small pickle.
Okay.
A gherkin. I believe it's G-E-R-K-I-N or K-E-N, a gherkin. It's like a pickle that's about that big.
Okay.
So he's like, I've got this pickle. It kind of looks maybe like a Japanese cucumber. It's about that size. And he goes, I want to stick this gherkin in your ass. And I don't really do butt stuff, but he was just so cool to come see me.
Yeah, it's a very nice thing to do.
Loyalty. And I appreciate, like, the respect, you know, like people are like, oh, you know, it's 10 years late. I mean, I just appreciate the loyalty. So I let him put the gherkin in my ass. Now, I am on all fours. I'm naked. He's a very big boy. He's walking around me. He puts the gherkin in my ass. And then I heard him kind of exclaim or freak out a little.
Oh, no.
And I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he goes, it disappeared.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. I mean, I thought he was kind of fucking with me. And I go, well, what do you mean? You know, and I'm naked on all fours in this dungeon room. And he goes, your ass ate the gherkin. And I kind of just, shut up. And he goes, no, really, it's gone. Your butt sucked it up. I was like, what, no. And then I touched back there, and there was nothing sticking out of my butt.
Oh, my God.
And this was not, I mean, this was like a sizable, you know, it's a vegetable.
Yeah, that's wow. I'm worried for you and impressed at the same time.
So I immediately squatted on the floor and tried to push the gherkin out. It wasn't coming out.
Oh, my God.
I was like, look in and feel and see if you can get it out. And I'm getting a little short-tempered and tense at this point, you know?
Reasonable.
Yeah, just a little edgy. And he's like, I don't see it. I don't. And then he's putting his stuff away. He was kind of freaking out. He's like, I don't want a lawsuit. Like, things went horribly wrong. And I was like, I need your phone number. I want to keep in touch. I want to let you know how this is going because I need to get this out. And he's like, okay. And I got his phone number, and he was cool. And then he was out the door. Eric, this is the killer, though. Like, no tip.
Oh, that's so funny.
I don't just mean the end of the gherkin was not visible. I mean, no cash. Like, not a 20, not a 40, nothing.
He didn't kick you out an extra buck for that's, I mean, at least the cost of the gherkin. You mean, you feel like you're.
I don't know what the gherkin costed, but it's hard to figure that out. But, yeah, I mean, no one's going to eat that gherkin.
No, it's just, I think it's.
You know what? Some freak would have eaten that gherkin.
He would have. Yeah, you were at Sanctuary. There would have been somebody.
We should have, like, auctioned. So basically, he's gone. He rushes out of there. He abandons me. I'm walking around in this dungeon room with a gherkin up my
somewhere.
Butt. Like, I can't feel it. It wasn't like you feel like you need to poop. I mean, it was like way up there, you know?
Oh, my God.
So I go to the front desk, and I'm like, you know, they have accepted me back there as sort of like this mature fetish chick. And I'm known as a fetish producer. I have some clout. Like, they're respectful to having me there. Like, they're honored and appreciative, but they're not going to, like, just let me, like, be a total whore in there. I have to respect the room. I can't be in there, like, pissing all over, like, their furniture or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So I go, look, I just want to talk to you about something. And the girl at the desk is like, you know, she's like this alternative Miley Cyrus looking chick. And I go, we did some food play, and he put a gherkin in my asshole. It was consensual, and it, my asshole sucked it up. And she's like, yeah, that'll happen, you know. I'm like, so do you think I should go home? She goes, well, you know, it'll probably come out later. She was like not gonna like approve of what I did, but she wasn't good. She's just like pretty mellow about it, you know.
I like how front desk people are the same no matter what business.
Totally. Yeah. Like, you know how this is what's changed since I was a kid. Like, when I was younger or even in high school, I'd go, do you think this will do this? And the front desk person would have an answer. And now the front desk person is like, I don't know. I'm not sure. And they're like, okay with that, you know?
Yeah, they're like, fine, like, I don't know, all right.
They don't even, and then I have to be Karen, and I have to be like, can you talk to someone about it, you know? But I was not Karen on this day. I was like, very sheepish. That's not a bestiality joke. So the front desk girl, she goes, well, you do have a 2:00 appointment. Do you want to keep that appointment? And I go, yeah.
Oh, wow. You're a trooper.
Well, I'm a trooper, and, like, I figured I could talk to him. And my 2 o'clock appointment was, like, he's older than me, and he's very, like, streetwise and, like, a cool dude. And I'm like, maybe he can get this gherkin out of my ass, you know?
Maybe. That's kind of a Hail Mary hope you got going there.
Well, I was going through a lot of anxiety because I'm like, I'm going to have to go to the emergency room and, you know, have them.
Got to have that conversation.
Talk about tossing my salad. Like, what the fuck? So before you see your 2 o'clock, your appointment, you have to have a little meeting in this little room where you talk about, oh, I want to tie you up. Oh, well, I'm not okay with that. Well, I want to spank you. Okay, good. So this is a guy who I'd seen before. And unfortunately, one of the things he really liked to do was body worship and lick your asshole. And I'm kind of like, how can this happen today? You know, like, how can we pull this off today? Like, I just have to be real with him.
Yeah.
And he was cool guy, couple years older than me. So he's like 50 to my 45 or something. So we're sitting in this room and I said, I have an issue. And he's like, just tell me what's on your mind. You know, he's kind of like got the East Coast. He's like, what's on your mind? And I go, my last session, something strange happened. He's like, did someone hurt you? And I'm like, not really, but we did some food play and there were some insertions. He's like, go on. I go, I have a gherkin up my ass. And he's like, pop. He's like, that's crazy shit. I go, but I know you like to, like, lick my butthole. He goes, I'm from Rhode Island, nothing bothers me. Now, oh, I just have to say, at this part of the story, I might have fucked it up, but I wanted to go with the flow of the story. I don't remember exactly. You could imagine where my head was that day. So he either said Rhode Island, Long Island, or Jersey. I don't think he said Jersey because I think at a later date, I said, it was so funny when you said New Jersey. And he goes, I would never be from New Jersey. Fuck that place. I'm from Rhode Island. You know, so I think he was from Rhode Island. But I just have to put that out there. I might not be 100% accurate, but all the whole rest of the story is true.
Okay.
So he basically consents to do the session, toss my salad, and overlook the produce.
I don't know why I'm about to ask this question, but did he notice a flavor difference?
He pretended he did, but he really didn't.
Okay, because like he had to have brought it up when he was doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he pretended he was like, you know, but he pretended he did, but he really didn't. And that thing was like way up. He was like, look, I don't know what's going to happen. He's like, let me know. It seems to be way up there. I don't taste it. I don't see it. He's like, you're going to be all right. You know, worst comes to worst, they will get that thing right out with a pair of forceps. And I'm like,
Oh, my God.
I don't have any shame. I would have no problem, but I also had no insurance at the time. Like, if you have insurance, are you having to let a guy put a gherkin up your ass? I don't think so.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
That's how life works.
Oh my God, this is great.
I hung out of the dungeon and my shift was over at like 6. And I think I had one more client, but it was like some new guy. And it was just like, I don't know what it was, but I didn't tell him because it was just TMI. Mm-hmm. And before I left the dungeon, I needed to go to the bathroom. And it came out.
Oh, glorious.
I know, and I took a photo of it, and I sent it to the guy who stuck it up there, and he was like, phew. And I never saw him again, and I never heard from him again, but he's a really cool dude, and no problem. It was a very funny experience, but the real hero, I think, is probably the guy from
Rhode Island. Oh yeah, he's the MVP of this story, hands down. Living up to that name. Nothing bothers us. No shit.
He didn't miss a beat. He goes, "I'm from Rhode Island."
Oh my God. That is an incredible story.
That's a pretty good story.
That is a great, that is an awesome, awesome story. And I'm so, I knew you were going to give me something I was going to appreciate.
I was like, oh my God, what am I going to tell him? And then I go, oh yeah.
It was like the Lakash was like, you got to go with the Gherkin story, the Gherkin. Come on, it's the best story.
And the Gherkin.
Oh my God, that is incredible. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, like I want to make sure while we're still recording to make like, how are, like, you're one of my favorite comics. You're like, I've always, one of my, all my best memories of when I was living in LA is Sal's Comedy Hole, you know, constantly seeing, you know, us, you know, like, all the shows, lost count. And like, you're a delight on so many levels. What's the best way for people to find you? What is the best way for people to, what do you want to promote right now?
Well, my Instagram is SallyMullins818, and you can always hit me up on there too and follow Dante and Rebecca's shows on SallyMullins818 because they would love to have you on a show. It feels like you're at Sal's, dude. It feels like you're at Sal's. And also, my special is on Amazon right now. It's called Sleazy Does It. And I talk about porn, and I talk about the fetish dungeon, and I talk about weird shit like that. I don't tell the Gherkin story. That was exclusive to here.
Yeah.
But Sleazy Does It is on Amazon Prime right now. And then if you're into, you know, my adult stuff, I'm on OnlyFans as Ms. Jamie Foster.
Awesome. Awesome, yeah. You guys. Do yourself a favor and follow her. She is a delight. And that's Tell Me a Story. Thank you, guys. Good night. That was an incredible story, by the way.
Oh my God, that was a good one.
And that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to giving you guys more stories, more guests. You guys keep on listening. Our numbers are growing every week. And it's thanks to you guys. So please continue to like, share, subscribe. If you want to support other ways, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook. My handle is Bell Comedy. That's also my Cash App handle, $BellComedy, one word. If you want to support other ways, we will have a Patreon up that will be a little bit easier for you guys to directly donate. And thank you for listening to Tell Me a Story. Love y'all. Bye.